All right, this morning we'll be considering the fifth commandment. Have a brief meditation on the fifth commandment and then a time of prayer, and then we'll wrap up with the singing of a hymn. So the fifth commandment from Exodus 20, and let me get Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Deuteronomy 5, we have, in the remaking of the covenant with the second generation, Moses says this: Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So we see again that looking forward to entering the land of Canaan. So it's Sunday morning. It's early, relatively. Just to wake us up a little bit, what's wrong with this commandment? What's wrong with this commandment? Do you have an answer?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, the problem with this commandment is that we look at the fallen world around us, and we see that those who seem relatively good die young, and the wicked seem to prosper and live a long life. Parents abuse and even kill their own children. Teenagers rebel against their parents. And then we don't even have to get started on how oppressive governments can be with their citizens. We come to this commandment in the early 21st century, and we tend to think of ourselves as being a bit too sophisticated for a command like this. We think that we have, especially in our culture around us, we think that we've evolved past this commandment, that this was something that societies needed in order to function in a pre-industrial age. We have YouTube and Facebook. What do we need parents for? If you need to figure out how to do something, you can just go look it up. We have democracy instead of kings and priests. But instead, we need to come in humble reliance upon God and come in humility before His Word and see how this commandment does, in fact, correct our thinking. First of all, it shows us, or gives us, a biblical understanding of authority. How do we understand authority in the sphere of the family, in the realm of the state, as we function in our jobs with employers and employees? See, this commandment, first of all, or I might say more broadly, teaches us that all authority is delegated by God. And it starts here at this most basic unit of the family. Parents derive their authority not just because they have children and they are parents, but because God has delegated to them the authority as parents. All proper authority, then, is delegated from God. So it shows us the proper relation between family members. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, we have this very famous statement, this confession that lays the groundwork for who Israel is as a nation awaiting the promised one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then this first great commandment, as our Lord calls it, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And then notice what parents are to do with this confession. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's part of who it is to be as a parent, is to teach. This is so fundamental to what it means to be a parent that we find this idea of the parent-child relationship used for all kinds of relationships where there's instruction taking place throughout the Scriptures. I mean, just think of the Proverbs. What do you find in the Proverbs over and over again? The writer of Proverbs is addressing the hearer as my son, as a father to a son. Son, listen to my instruction. And then what does he tell this young man to do? Listen to your father. Heed the voice of your father and your mother. As you get into the New Testament, you find Paul doing this with the church. He's like a father to the local church. He does this with Timothy and Titus and even Onesimus. So to be a parent is to teach. And then turn over to Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, we have the Pharisees accusing Jesus' disciples of misunderstanding the law, and Jesus responds by showing them their misunderstanding of the law, and in fact, their misunderstanding of the fifth commandment. So Matthew 15 and verses 4 through 6. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And so here we see something of the children's responsibility to their parents, that they are to be loving and faithful. They are to listen and to obey. And then in their old age, they are to care for their parents. This is the faithfulness of children to their parents and following this command. And then as I've stated already, this command is broader than just how parents and children interact. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Excuse me, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 4, we have Paul laying out the duty of children who are believers to their parents in this new covenant. And he gives them this fifth commandment. And then notice where he goes right after this. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And then down in verse 9. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So you see Paul working out how the New Covenant believers are to apply the moral law of God in their lives as children, as parents, and as employees and employers. And then we find a similar outworking of what it means to be citizens in a nation. How does this work? Proverbs 24, verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. And then we find in the New Testament continued instruction to be subject to our governments. In 1 Peter, Romans 13 is a good example of this, if you want to look that up on your own. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verses 13 through 15, we find this. Excuse me. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So this is, as we come before this commandment, we find the fullness of this commandment for all of our lives and how we are to live in all of our relationships with our neighbors. This ought to be convicting to us as we think about how we have failed to honor our parents, how we have failed to teach our children as we ought. We find this command then perfectly kept by our Savior. And we see this most famously in Luke chapter 2 in verses 51 through 52. Then he, that is Christ, went down with them, he's speaking of Joseph and Mary, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here we find Christ perfectly honoring his father and his mother. And not only did he honor his earthly parents, but Christ our Savior also keeps this commandment as he honors the Father. John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So again, we opened with this idea of what's wrong with this commandment as we look out at a fallen world and see that often those who honor their parents don't live a long life, and those who dishonor their parents sometimes do. Well, we find this resolved in our Savior. Christ perfectly honors his father and mother and then is crucified at, what, his early 30s. He suffered the curse for breaking this command in order to purchase for us the reward of perfectly keeping this command. And so as we come before the law and we find our sins laid bare, so we find our hearts exposed, where do we run? We run to Christ. Christ is the one who perfectly keeps the law for us. And so what is the promise that is attached to this commandment? Life. And then we find in Deuteronomy, life in the promised land. And what do we learn as we go through the scriptures from the promised land? The promised land was to teach Israel to look forward to a heavenly tabernacle, a heavenly Jerusalem. Eternal life. And so Christ earns for us who are trusting in him that eternal life, which is the reward of keeping this command perfectly. And then Christ in his word shows us how to please God. How do we please God as his people? By loving our parents, loving our children, loving our employer, our employees, our country, whatever relationship it is that God has us in his providence, how then do we honor those in authority over us? How then do we serve those in authority under us? Okay, we've heard this brief meditation then on this command and what this command instructs us, somewhat of the fullness and the breadth then of this command. So let's then go to prayer in light of this command. So what should we do with the fifth commandment as we come before God in prayer? Well, first of all, thanksgiving. God didn't create human beings and plump us down on the earth and say, have at it, and leave us in total anarchy. No, he gave us parents. He gave us governments. He gave us relationships with one another in the workplace. So let's be thankful to him for the authorities that he's put in place over us in our lives. Let's be thankful for the families that he's given us. And then let's be thankful above and beyond this for the church. And not just this church here, but the wider church throughout history and throughout the world. We have been made part of a spiritual family. Remember what Christ said, "Who are my mother and my brother and my sister? Those who keep my commandments." And then as we come before this commandment, we want to not only give thanks to God, we also want to make confession of our sin. And then we want to plead for the Spirit's aid in living out the fifth commandment, excuse me, in the different relationships in which we find ourselves in this life.